Well, before we do close, we do want to just hear from the Word. And most of you know quite a bit about the Word. And Candace, I don't know where you are, but, you know, the Word of God is not, as I thought it was for so many years, just a book. This is alive. It's God speaking to us. He has given all in these 719 chapters that we need. There's nothing more that you need other than what's in this book. The problem is not that we need more information. The problem is that we don't do what God shows us to do in this book right here. And most people don't know the Bible at all. They may know a few phrases. They may want to pick on some supposed contradictions. God wrote this for us. The one who made us, who created us, he knows everything about us. As Sherry said earlier, he knows the number of our days. He knows exactly when our last breath is going to be. He's known that since the foundation of the world. If you can understand that, then you're way ahead of me. But he loves you, and he sent his son to die for you. And we've talked a little bit about adversity, and this group meets because of adversity of cancer. But we all get put through adversity, cancer or no cancer, as God uses this, trials and afflictions, to draw us to him. When things are going well, when you're perfectly healthy, when you're perfectly wealthy, when you're perfectly wise, if that could ever be, you will not grow spiritually at all. You will not grow closer to God. In fact, you'll grow further away from him. You'll start to worship the things that you have instead of him. He wants your heart. He wants your worship. He wants to hear from you. He wants to live in your heart. And so we get put in these situations periodically and frequently in some cases where we have no way out. There's just no way out. Man has no answers. We have no answers. Nobody had any answers. And so out of desperation, we turn to the Lord. And he lovingly kind of says, well, kind of nice to hear from you again. It's been a while, and he cures us, or he does whatever he's going to do. And then we thank him, and then we go merrily on our way and forget all about him, caught up in all the cares of the world and the different kinds of schedules and all that kind of a stuff. But the scripture says that he made us man in his image. We are a special creature. The only creature that he spoke to during creation. The only creature that really has the ability to communicate with him. The only creature that has a soul in sense of being eternal. Only man is created with an eternal soul. And since we're eternal, that means there's no end to our existence. And you might say, well, that doesn't sound right. Because I had four friends that died the last year or whatever. We're not permanent in this body. This body is just temporary tent. And as you all know, the tent is deteriorating. I think scientifically, I don't know, you would know better than I, most of you, but we start to die almost as soon as we're born because of sin, because of Adam's sin, we die because we're all born of Adam. Adam would have probably lived forever. But he sinned, and God told him, don't eat of the tree of that fruit, and if you do, you'll surely die. And he ate of it, and death entered the world, and death through sin. He is our federal father. And so since we're born of Adam, we have those same characteristics of that sin, rebellious nature, and so we're all sinners. The Bible says you've all sinned. There's no, not one that hasn't sinned, and there's none righteous. No, not one. But God sent his son into the world to pay the price of your sin and my sin so that we would not have to die. And so we have a choice. We can choose death or we can choose life. I'm not talking about just a few years. I'm talking about for eternity. Eternity is created in with two different locations, really, or two different, and there's only two, the Bible says. There's heaven and there's what we call hell or Gehenna, outer darkness. And you will spend eternity in one of those two places. And you get to choose which of those two you pick. You pick. You will pick it. God doesn't force you to come to heaven. He wants everybody to come to heaven, but the criterion is you must love him and you must surrender to him. You must surrender your life to Jesus Christ and believe that he died for your sins. That's the free gift, but you've got to receive that to have it. If you've done that, you have the promise of eternal life. And so when you have the promise of eternal life, then this life in this body suddenly becomes much less important, because we're all going to die. Whether we die today, or whether we die next year, or whether we die 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, or 30 years from now, we're going to die. So that's a surety. That's not a negotiable thing, because we're born of Adam. But what we do have the option of is choosing death or choosing life. Choosing death is rejecting God, is rejecting Jesus Christ. Choosing life is accepting him. So the wonderful thing about cancer and other adversities, cancer isn't the only adversity that God uses to bring people to him. But as you've heard again today, almost every single meeting we hear people praising, thanking the Lord for cancer. Before I had cancer, I didn't know the Lord. I was on my way to hell. I didn't even know it. And I was kind of happily on my way to hell. But now I've turned my life to him because I got in a desperate situation and I recognize I may have been able to get by when things are going great, but when they get really tough, I can't get by without him. And so you turn to him and you watch him bless. And the more you turn to him, the more he blesses, because he's a blessing God. And if whatever you get from God is for your good. And I wanted to just focus on a couple of verses here. They're almost at the end of the Bible in this little one chapter book called Jude. Jude, a half brother of Jesus Christ. But he has a doxology right at the end, and I just want to take the one verse, verse 24, and it says, "Now to him," meaning God, Christ, "now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling," or falling is another translation. He is able. Only he is able to keep you from stumbling. There's nobody else, only him. "But to him who is able to keep you from stumbling," and then this next line is really what I want to focus on today, "and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Just think what that verse says. By being his, we're going to be presented faultless, without fault. Now, how can that be? We're filled with faults. We got so many faults. Every one of us has a tremendous number of faults. And we can't do much about it, but he takes them away because he is going to perfect us. Now, when you believe in Christ, you don't believe in Christ just because you want to believe in Christ. You believe in Christ because he's drawing you to him, and he's invested Christ's blood in you. And with that investment, he's going to perfect you. So that day when he gathers the church together, that's the church is all the believers. It's not man's group or organizations. It's those who believe and are committed to Christ. They're the church, and that will be eternally with the Lord. And that will be the day when we've all, the millions and millions and millions of believers, will have been perfected to Christ's likeness. Now, he's got a lot of work to go in most of us. In my case, he's got a tremendous amount of work, but he is able and he has promised to perfect us. So he will perfect you. And now, what does he use to perfect us? Cancer? Adversity? Maybe he's using financial problems, maybe emotional problems. Got the fax machine going here. I can't turn it off. So maybe it's an interruption. We have some interruptions at times, you know, interruptions in life when we want to be really quiet and listen to him. And then we get this noise. At any rate, now we'll get the facts and then it'll quiet down. So that's one of the problems of having a home office with the facts next to the thing, if we really get one, but here's one today. But at any rate, back to the thing here. He's able to present you, each one of us, you, faultless before the presence of the Father with exceeding joy. He's so excited to see his own being made faultless, being made Christ-like. And the only way that can happen is through him working in our lives as he does it. We can't do it ourselves. We can't perfect ourselves. On our best day, we're still miserable, so far short. Only he can do that. I hope, Candace, as you can meet with us, that you feel comfortable, and there'll be a lot of questions. But God loves you, and he wants you to be closer to him. And you've already seen miracles in your life. But the big miracle will be not the physical, I don't think, so much as the spiritual. Spiritual healing is so good because it gives us time for the spiritual healing and the spiritual maturity that he has us all on different paths. Some that happens very quickly, and others it takes more time. But he is going to do his work, and he's going to do his work in each of us. We hear these glowing reports of what the Lord is doing. And then there's some other side of that where we've got an enemy out there called Satan, and he wants to make your life really miserable. He wants to destroy you, and he wants to deceive you. And this world is getting more and more deception as we get closer to, as the Bible says, Christ's return. He's coming back, and he's coming back soon, and we need to be ready for that. So thank you all for being here today and contributing, as always. I don't know about all of the other people who aren't here, but we can hold them up in prayer just generally. The Lord knows what they need. Isn't it great to know that when you pray, the Lord already knows what you're going to pray? He knows everything about everything. You don't have to tell him anything. You don't have to explain every little bit of thing. It's fine if you want to, but you don't need to tell him because he already knows. So we're praying to somebody who's asked us to pray to him, who knows everything about us. Everything we're ever going to do forever. We don't know. He's made us, so we don't know 1 second ahead of us what's going to happen, but he knows it all. And so he made us and he created us, and that's the God we serve. So, Father, I thank you for each one. I just know how special we are to you and how glorious it is. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would bless each one. I pray you would continue to heal where healing is needed. And Lord, may your will be done in every area. In Jesus' name, amen.